Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Doug Gribenaugh is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, "In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Comfort! Comfort ye, my people. The word that Isaiah speaks of comfort. In fact, actually, it demands comfort. It commands comfort to us. It is the imperative form. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. God is entreating, inviting his people to take heart, not be afraid. Though a time of trial, a time of testing, a time of exile awaits them. Just before this, in chapter 39, Isaiah spoke God's stern word of law. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left. But chapter 40 begins with comfort and the assurance that Israel is still God's people. He is still their God. Comfort my people, says your God. And so he says to you, comfort, comfort. You are my people. I am your God. See, like the Israelites to whom Isaiah spoke, we are also a people in exile. They were to be exiled from the promised land, the land that the Lord swore to their fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and to their offspring after them. But they did not listen to the statutes and the rules that God taught them. They did not do what was right and good in the sight of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Or as we often sing, a mighty fortress is our God. But Israel had turned elsewhere. They looked for safety, for assurance, for comfort in the things of this world. They'd grown fat and happy, content in their wealth, secure in their own strength. Their hearts were weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. King Hezekiah looked to Babylon to defend his kingdom from the Assyrians. And it would be Babylon who would take them captive, God's instrument of their exile. Indeed, how much are we like the people, Israel? We too have lived in a kind of promised land, a land that's largely been free of wars and rumors of wars, largely free of want and need. The United States of America remains one of the wealthiest nations in the entire world. Though our debt and inflation are creeping up, we also remain one of the most free nations in the world. Those liberties, though, are being diminished, even though only a small bit. Now, the United States that our parents knew, that we knew in our youth, the United States that we perhaps idealized in our minds, is a little bit less of a reality than it once was. And certainly, the United States has never been perfect. It is indeed a worldly thing, a work of sinful man. But I'm not just speaking of the United States. For over 1,600 years, Christianity has been a dominant force in global culture in one way or another. With the Edict of Constantine in the year of our Lord 380, Christianity became a part of the fabric of everyday life. In the time of the Reformation, well, it was not only unusual, but really almost inconceivable that one would not be a Christian. Even through the Enlightenment, through the early 20th century Industrial Revolution, up until really quite recently, Christianity has enjoyed a seat at the cultural table. That no longer seems to be the case. Secular humanism and other more wicked forces have secured a kind of dominance Western culture, exercising their social and political capital in more and more aggressive ways. Christendom, the Church Catholic, the Church Universal, seems to be entering a time of exile, a time when Christianity and Christ himself are no longer welcome in the public square, not even recognized as an authority of any sort. We really shouldn't be surprised by it at all. But we also certainly must not lose heart. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. See, the supposed promised land of which I was speaking was really never more than just a shadow, a human creation that remained bound to sin. The true promised land to which we look, that we await in this season of Advent, that we await in the season of Advent that is our lives, is the new heaven and the new earth that God is actively working to bring forth. The new heaven and the new earth that will be realized fully in the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, in his final Advent. See, the truth we should recognize is that we have been a people in exile far longer than 1,600 years, far longer than the 2,700 years since Isaiah. All mankind has been in exile since the fall. An exile from the true knowledge of God, as he would have us know him. An exile from the perfect happiness that we knew in him. An exile of our own making. An exile resulting from the rebellion of our first parents. There is no true comfort in this fallen world. Though your sinful flesh yearns for such things, the wine, the drink, the money, the power, it's all grass, withers and dies when the breath of the Lord blows on it. The beauty of this age after which we lust is like that of a flower. It fades and is no more. The breath of the Lord blows on it. No matter how good or strong or right or beautiful the things in this world appear, when the breath of the Lord comes, when God's law speaks, it convicts. It always convicts. It destroys our confidence in the flesh, and it wounds us deeply. And we don't like it. Yet in this wounding, are we being made capable of being comforted? As Martin Luther rightly said, only those who are afflicted have comfort and are capable of it. Because comfort means nothing unless there is a malady. That malady, you probably guessed it, is sin. It is our age-old rebellion against God. And yet it's a rebellion that God has declared is over. There is comfort now because there is peace. God's peace in his only Son, our Lord, Christ Jesus. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Our rebellion is over. God has declared it such, even though our sinful flesh refuses to recognize the armistice. Our iniquity is pardoned. We are redeemed. We have received from the Lord's hand, from the one who sits at the right hand of God, full pardon and peace. We have been given double for all our sins, not double our trouble for the rebellion, not double the punishment that we deserve, though surely that even would not be enough. No, we have been given double, more than a sufficiency, an excess of righteousness from he who became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And so it is that the breath of the Lord that blows from Golgotha, this gospel, this word made flesh, gives life and gives peace. This word is he who died. This word is he who rose again. As we hear in Hebrews, the word of God will rise up, has risen up, and will remain risen. It will stand forever. This word, this Christ, will come again. It is his final advent that we await. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." In this exile, in this wilderness of our sinful flesh, the Holy Spirit prepares the way of the Lord. It is a preparation first exercised by John the Baptizer, who was baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. For it is by repentance, by the turning from sin, that we make straight in the desert or the wilderness a highway for our God. But this repentance is not a work of our own. It is the working of the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water. But you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, a life-giving water rich in grace and a washing of new birth in the Holy Spirit. It is by this power, by the power of God, that that which is crooked, our sinful paths are made straight, by his power that the highway of our God is laid down in the sin-laden hearts. The true comfort that God speaks to us, the true comfort that we speak to each other, is Christ the Crucified. Or as you hear on KFUO Radio, whose birthday is today, Christ for you. It is by the means of grace, by your baptism, by the preaching of his word, by the true body and most precious blood of Christ Jesus, that the highway of our God is established and maintained against all sin, death, and the power of the devil. Behold, the Lord God comes. The glory of the Lord has been revealed. The Christ has been with us throughout our greatest exile, throughout the exile from Eden. His glory was in the pillar of cloud and fire as Yahweh led his people out of slavery. His presence filled the temple as Yahweh tabernacled, as he dwelt among his people. His glory came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. His glory will come again, and all flesh shall see it together. We don't know necessarily how it is that all flesh, meaning all mankind, believers, non-believers, the living, the dead, all peoples, will see the Christ at his second coming. But we know that it is true. For there is the resurrection of all flesh to stand before the Lamb on his throne. And when he comes in this final advent, he comes to rule the kingdom that has no end. And yet the kingdom is already here. It's already breaking forth. And so it is, we pray, thy kingdom come. We pray that it may come to us also. And it shall be so. The good work that the Holy Spirit began in your baptism will be brought to completion on the day of our Lord, Christ Jesus. When he comes in this final advent, he comes to judge. His reward is with him. He will reward each according to their due. He will give justice and mercy. To the wicked, to the workers of lawlessness who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, he will deliver punishment, just punishment. But to his flock, to those who hear his voice and who follow him, he gives blessing and mercy. He will gather you in his arms. He will carry you in his bosom. When he comes in this final advent, he comes to shepherd. So do not fear. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. To Jerusalem, to his holy people, to his church on earth, our God declares, O Jerusalem, herald of good news, lift up your voice. Fear not. To Zechariah, the father of John the Baptizer, our Lord declared, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. To Mary, the mother of Jesus, our Lord, he declared, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. To the disciples, our Lord declared, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And so also he says to you, as we await this great advent, his coming to rule, to judge, to shepherd, our Lord declares, peace I give you. Peace, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. For Christ is for you. Thanks be to God. And by his word, we are called home, called out of exile, for his word is our comfort. His word says to you today, and each and every day, until that last day, comfort, comfort. You have been redeemed, purchased, and won, that you may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Amen. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.